our children to Sunday school. If we could leave the screen down, I have a number of scriptures I want everyone to be able to see. First, if you turn to Proverbs, the 30th chapter and verse number 6. Proverbs 30 and 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. You know, the first one who did that was Eve. She quoted the devil what God said, and she said, well, we're not to eat of the fruit of the tree, but we're not supposed to touch it either. Well, she added to the word of God, and it caused her to fall. If she would have known, if she would have been a Bible quizzer when she grew up. Amen. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 22. Last words are important, folks. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Whoa, pretty harsh, God. You see, I want my word to stay pure. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I want to go to heaven. I want to partake of what God has given me. This is a serious matter, folks. And then if you go to the book of Acts, the second chapter, Peter preaches a dynamic message, and in the dynamic message, he puts the responsibility of Jesus' death on everyone that's listening. Amen. And all of a sudden, they're realizing, you know what? I'm guilty. And verse number 37 says, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And then one more scripture, Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, the third chapter. Malachi 3 and verse number 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. There is one constant in this world, and that is God's not going to change. Amen. This message has already been confirmed by two fish. Amen. I said to my wife, I cannot believe that this is happening. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing, your touch, not only upon your word and the speaker, but on every soul that is in this place this morning. God, that it would change us and strengthen us and help us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When 12-year-old Mary Kelman of Elk Grove, Illinois, awoke on September 29th, 1982, with cold symptoms, her parents gave her extra strength Tylenol and sent her back to bed. Little did they know that they would find her at 7 a.m. dying in the bathroom. That same morning, Adam Janice, 27, of Arlington Heights, Illinois, took extra strength Tylenol just for a minor chest pain, and an hour later, he suffered a heart attack and he died. That evening, the family from Adam Jensen gathered at his home to comfort each other. and Adam's brother Stanley, 25, and his wife Theresa, 19, took Tylenol from the same bottle and were pronounced dead 48 hours later. Tragic. Within 3 days, 7 people died after taking extra strength Tylenol, all in the Chicago area. One of the firemen noticed that the common denominator here was everyone took extra strength Tylenol. The extra strength Tylenol capsules were each found to contain 65 milligrams of cyanide. The amount of cyanide necessary to kill anybody is 5 to 7 micrograms, which means that the person who tampered with the capsules used 10,000 times more poison than needed. Diabolical. Wanting to poison people that they never knew. Perhaps some of you remember all of the networks warning over and over, do not take extra strength Tylenol. Some despicable, reprehensible individual broke the seal and tampered with the bottles of Tylenol and put them back on shelves of 5 different stores in the Chicago area. The news caused a national panic. People all over the United States were worried. Did I take it? Do I have the same kind of thing? Johnson & Johnson recalled 31 million bottles of Tylenol with a retail value of more than $100 million because someone tampered with their product. No one thought anyone would ever buy another bottle of extra strength Tylenol. But Johnson & Johnson reintroduced a new triple seal tamper-resistant bottle that gave people confidence that this would never happen again. Extra strength Tylenol. First of all, you have to break open the box. And this one has never been opened before. And then somehow you've got to break open a plastic thing here. Doesn't everyone have one of these? Don't mess with the pastor. Okay, so the band is taken off, and now you have to turn it so the arrows line up, and you take the cap off, and now you have another seal in order to get it out, and finally, you can get to the extra strength Tylenol. All protections against tampering. You have to break the seal in order to get to the product that has not been compromised, still has the integrity. It still is able to relieve your pain and help you. Today, virtually every medicine that is ever sold over the counter has tamper-proof protection. Even after 36 years, they still haven't solved the murders of this person who tampered with the Tylenol. How tragic that someone could take the life of someone that they never met and didn't care about, but just randomly poisoned people. Yet could this happen to each of us in a spiritual sense? Would you turn to the book of Jude, just before Revelation? I thank God I still have a need for a Bible. Amen. Amen. A few pages are ripped a little bit, but I really prefer this. Jude, verse number 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." In other words, there's going to be some contention. You're going to have to fight for what was delivered to you. Most of us lock our doors before we leave, even lock our cars, even in the church parking lot, because we know that there are some people who would want to tamper with what you have. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there were back then, there are people who will want to tamper with what we have. Poison us, if you will. Would you turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. Peter warns, verse number 1 of that second chapter, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies." Isn't it amazing that they have to come to people privately? Right. Let me tell you, let's separate them from all of those who would be witnesses of truth. Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious or self-destructing ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feign or false words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I wish we could develop a tamper-proof Bible. You know? Something that no one could dilute, nobody could poison, nobody could corrupt, or a tamper-proof saint, amen, hallelujah, wrapped up somehow that nobody could get to us, stop up their ears so they couldn't hear, turn the truth of God's word, never to fables, but always the discerner of what is right. Should be, I would think that God should put some kind of buzzer within us, and every time we hear something that's corrupt or outside of what the Word of God says, it would go off and we recognize, no, that isn't right. Amen. Oh, He did. Right. He put the Holy Ghost within us. Amen. Amen. Would you turn to 2 Peter, the fourth chapter? I'm sorry, 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Starting in verse number 1, let's talk to the young preacher here. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears," or tell me what I want to hear, "and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of the ministry." We're talking about putting tamper-proof things in our life that no one can come and poison us with that which we thought was not harmful, but something that would help relieve our pain. Amen. God's protection or tamper-proof is to preach the word, undiluted, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. Watch in all things, endure, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Therefore, you're protecting yourself and the product that God gave us. Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. People who will try to discredit the word of God or change its meaning. Folks, I'm sorry, but all of the modern day versions of the word of God, they're tampering with God's pain reliever, with the salvation that God has given us. We might think it's innocent, oh, to get the Blue Jean Bible or the modern Bible, all of these other versions. Well, it's so much easier to read. They are man's paraphrase, and some versions even leave out entire scriptures out of the Bible because they don't fit with the author. And God said, if any man shall add unto the things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the word of the book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. This is not a little thing. It makes me cringe when a preacher gets up and starts to use different versions because I'm afraid that it then legitimizes something that takes away or adds to what the Word of God says. That sounds pretty strong to me. You see, the King James Version is the only version that links back to the original Hebrew and Greek, making it tamper-proof. This is the closest thing to what God's word says, and we don't have any interjection from somebody else's opinion or ideas. Otherwise, you could be swallowing something that God didn't package for your health and salvation. And all of a sudden, you don't think it's important anymore. Some would prescribe a little of God's word with some of man's philosophy. Really? That's acceptable? Well, here's what I think, you know. And of course, if you're an authority or you're put into a position of authority, all of a sudden we'll the doctor said I should take this, but the label says it could kill you. Yeah, but the doctor said you could take it. I remember in the 50s, I know I'm really, really old, but in the 50s, there were doctors who were advertising what cigarettes you should smoke. That's no joke, folks. Hallelujah. Here's an authority who's saying, this is all right for you. Glory to God. Amen. Take a look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Colossians 2, verse number 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiment or propositions of the world, and not after Christ. Watch out. If we can't agree that the Word of God is really the Word of God and not tampered with, then we are open to all kinds of deception. Right. See, we have to agree. I remember sitting down with a doctor years ago who witnessed to me when I came in for an examination, and I said, well, I'm glad you're witnessing to me. I already know about the Word of God, and then I shared with him some things and beliefs, and well, we got in a little bit of a tussle, and so we decided that we're going to meet for lunch. And I remember Dr. Colehill coming with three books under his arms, and I said, doctor, Can I recommend one book? Because if it's not in here, it's just some man's opinion. It does not matter. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter? Second Timothy 3 and verse number 12. I'm glad that Paul saw that he needed to warn the young preacher, Timothy. You know, as a pastor, the only function I have standing behind this pulpit is to give you enough information to solidify your salvation and to keep you on the right path. It's the only purpose. This is not for entertainment. It's to put one more seal on the Word of God so somebody doesn't become affected with the wrong thing. Amen. Verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So don't think this is some strange thing that comes upon you. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All, would you say all? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. There are too many churches without furniture. Not thoroughly furnished. All we have is a pulpit. We don't have any furniture. We don't have it all. We haven't been given everything that is within the book that'll sustain us, you see. Hallelujah. Amen. All scripture is God-breathed. If there was ever a scripture to believe, it's this one. All scripture given by the inspiration of God. 2 Peter 1 and 20 says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy or scripture is any private interpretation." Well, that is your opinion. Thank God for chain references, because one scripture defines another scripture. Hallelujah. I'm glad for Matthew 28, 19. "Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Thank God for that scripture. I believe that scripture. It doesn't say names. It says name. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not names. They are titles. But thank God for Acts 2 and 38 that confirms Matthew 28 and 19. Everyone baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or washing away of our sins. I've used this scripture over the years in every Bible study, and I've used this illustration. I remember I was maybe in the church for 8 months, something like that. The pastor asked me to open the service, you know, and I didn't feel like I was ready. And so I'm the kind of guy who prepares. You know, I just don't say, "Okay, God, let me have it so I can give it to them," you know. I've got notes. So I remember, I thought, if my pastor ever asked me again, I'm going to be ready. I'm thinking about the song I'm going to sing, what I'm going to say. Sometimes he'd ask me, sometimes he wouldn't. But I remember my secretary walking into my office on a Wednesday afternoon, gave me a little poem, you know, about footsteps and how God is with you all the time, just like this little girl said. And I was so impressed with that. I'd never seen it before. Put it in my pocket thinking, if the pastor asks me to open service, I'm going to read this little poem. It was so neat. He didn't ask me. but the guy who got up in the pulpit, pulled out that little poem and started reading it, sang the song I intended. You see, sometimes you think it's you, but it's God. Hallelujah. How can we accept other versions of the Bible? We should be outraged by those who tamper with God's perfect word, and yes, it can kill people spiritually. Amen. I'm not saying that you can't take another version, read it, it's fine, but you know, you get to a place where if you're going to stake your life on it, and pattern your life, put you on a road to salvation, you better know for sure that it's telling you the right thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There are people who have said, just like the devil did in Genesis 3, did God say, if we didn't have this book, how could we confirm what God said? Are these words just suggestions? Paul didn't swallow other versions of what would save us. And from time to time, I mean, there have got to be over 600 different versions of truth in Christianity today. Beyond Christianity, there's all kinds of religions that tell you all kinds of things, and people who are dedicated to those things that aren't even spiritually discerned. Turn to Galatians, the first chapter, please. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Paul comes to Galatia, establishes the church in Galatia, and then he later writes a letter, which we have in our hands, and says in verse number 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I don't care if you have a visitation from an angel and the angel has gone berserk and says, no, you don't need to do that anymore. Let the angel be cursed. Because there is not another gospel. There is not another road to get to heaven. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Oh, here's the trap. We've got Samuel saying to Saul, hey, you heard what God said. Why did you spare Agag and the best of the flock? And he's saying, well, the people wanted to. Okay. Are we persuaded by people or are we persuaded by God? You know, we're living in a society that is just so afraid to offend anybody for any sin, any lifestyle, but we're willing to offend God in order to appease people. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, tell me again, Paul. Tell me again, Paul. Amen. Tell Timothy again. preach it again, Pastor. Preach it again, Pastor. Because I remember I believed this in the beginning, but now all of a sudden there's some kind of a dilution, a homogenization that says, well, I guess it's not that important because the doctor isn't saying it's necessary anymore. Glory to God. Amen. If we don't have an irrefutable benchmark for truth, then everything becomes opinions or somebody else's point of view. And we can be persuaded because there's no absolutes in the world anymore. Amen. Well, we would have given you an A, but there are a lot of the students that didn't do their homework, and so, you know, we're gonna grade on a bell curve, you see. You know, everybody has come to the consensus that green isn't green anymore. And so we're going to name it something else. We can get to the place where we're living in a democratic society and the majority of people rule and decide what is right. When there is no king, everyone does what's right in their own sight according to the scripture. And believe it or not, America is not a democracy, it's a republic. And we are governed by what the Constitution says, not by what a judge says or their opinion. It's based on what the law says, the Constitution. And we as a church are not governed by how many want to live holy, but what does the Constitution of God? No man shall see God without holiness. Right. Hallelujah. And as a result, there are damnable doctrines coming out of so-called Christian churches. Yeah. Amen. I'll preach something really nice tonight, folks. And it just bothers me that people have swallowed something that will kill them. Romans 10 and 9 as a basis for complete salvation. Take a look at it. Turn to Romans 10 and 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now this is a great scripture. I believe it. I believe every day we need to confess, Lord, you are Lord. Amen. Amen. I believe every word in your book. But you got to understand that this letter was written to churches that were already baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. They were already filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence. And now it's saying, you need to continue to confess the Lord as your Savior. Amen. Now, why wouldn't he say that in the beginning? Why wouldn't Jesus say when Paul was knocked down the road to Damascus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, just accept me as your Savior. No, he said, go to a street called Straight, and it will be told to you what you need to do. Amen. And now why tarriest thou? Arise. Calling on the name of the Lord, having your sins washed away. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. In Romans 10 and 13, it says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Anybody call on the name of the Lord lately? Hallelujah. You know, it's like I had a sidewalk poured a couple of weeks ago, and I had to give the man a down payment. And 2 days later, he came back. And he said, I appreciate the check, but you never signed it. I do that with all of my creditors. You know, that's the way I keep my money, you know. Well, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not going to use the name. It's where the authority is. Amen. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, or just accept the Lord as your Savior. That's all you have to do. God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change. But the word called here means to be entitled or have the name of Jesus on you, which happens at our baptism. See, you can pick and choose. I do that every week at the grocery store. I'll take this, I won't take that. But you can't do that with the Word of God. Amen. It's all edible. It's all been sealed. It's all good for consumption, for pain relief. People have tampered with the seal. What about once saved, always saved? You can't ever lose your salvation. It's another thing that sticks in my throat. And Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 22, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, if Paul was worried that he could be lost, how much more us? The Bible tells us we can have our names blotted out of the book of life. Because we didn't live for God, we need to continue to be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. 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 Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do. I was at a funeral not too long ago in a denominational church, and we just repeated prayer after prayer after prayer, including the Lord's Prayer, which was not supposed to be repeated. It is supposed to be used as a formula of how to pray. Amen. They may be sincere, but the seal is broken and the word was tampered with. You see, glory to God. Now, in biblical times, a seal had much more importance than just packaging. The term sealed is used in the Bible for that which is permanent or eternal. It's sealed. When God seals something, nobody can tamper with it. Nobody can change it. The term sealed is that which is permanent. Isaiah 8 and 16 says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among the disciples. Listen, I'm not changing my mind. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Seal meant something impenetrable. Revelation 5 and 2 says, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? Nobody has the authority to change anything within this book because it's God's word. Seal meant approved by God. In John 3 and 33, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. What was true 2,000 years ago is still true today. In other words, man can't break the seal, and God puts a seal on those things that are precious and can't be tampered with. We are God's tamper-proof containers. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Don't let anybody mess with us. In the New Testament, the word seal is used to describe the Holy Ghost. Let's turn to Ephesians 4 and 30. Ephesians 4 and 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So when God filled us with the Holy Ghost, he put a tamper-proof seal on each and every one of us, and the only way the seal can come off is for us to rip it off. Right. Nobody else can take the seal. It's permanent. Amen. Amen. Take a look at Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Now, I walked into a church like this many years ago, and I never even heard about the Holy Ghost. I heard about all of the parables. I heard all about creation. I heard about the goodness of God. I heard about the love of God. But I never heard about the Holy Ghost. And I wasn't sealed with the seal of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase possession unto the praise of his glory. So what God has done is he's put the most valuable thing on the face of the earth within us, the Spirit of God, which is the earnest or the down payment on the possession that he's coming back for. If you've ever bought a house, when you make the offer on the house, it has to be accompanied with a check or a down payment, and it's called the earnest money. And in case somebody ever changes their mind, the people who accepted your offer get to keep the earnest money. But it is there in order to make sure that you're actually going to make the transaction that you said you were going to make. And when God filled us with the Holy Ghost, he put a down payment on what he purchased. And when he comes back, he's going to take possession of that which he paid for. Hallelujah. The Bible calls the Holy Ghost the earnest of our inheritance, a deposit given to guarantee that we will receive our full inheritance at the sound of the trumpet. Church, we were sealed for eternity when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. And don't you love God's packaging? Amen. Amen. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we are sealed by God. We have God's seal of approval. Amen. Amen. You're approved. Amen. You're not perfect, but you're approved. Amen. I'm still working with you, but Amen. You're approved. Oh, no, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and if I don't know, you're approved. You're sealed. I put my spirit in you. I put the earnest. I put the suffering and the pain that I experienced on Calvary into what I want more than anything else in this world. You're sealed. Well, I really think you got to do some more things yet. Well, yeah, we need to endure to the end. We need to perfect our walk with God. But we're still sealed, have a seal of approval. It is also the deposit on eternal life. Amen. I'm glad on Saturday mornings I walk back and forth. That's just the way I pray. And I'm feeling the power and presence of God, but then there's some signs that follow, and I can speak in a language that I have never learned, testifying to me, even after all these years, yep, Holy Ghost is still there. Still got it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Our last scripture, we can have our musicians come. Acts, the 19th chapter. This is a great chapter. You know, there are some people who want to rip some chapters out. And perhaps this is one because it does not confirm what they espouse. And in verse number 1 of that 19th chapter says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples." So it's not like they didn't know about God, they didn't know about the crucifixion, didn't know what was happening. He said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." You're believers. You're like I was, walking into a Spirit-filled church. I knew all about God, but I had no clue about the Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, "Unto then, what were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." They asked me, "How were you baptized?" I couldn't honestly tell them I remembered because I was a baby. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." In other words, just believe in God. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Immediately, they had the gifts of the Spirit when they received the Spirit. Amen. What I want you to see is these disciples didn't even know whether there be any Holy Ghost. Why? Because someone had tampered with the seal. If people tamper with the seal of God's Word or the Holy Ghost, the results they get will bring death and not life, because you can't tamper with the things of God. Amen. You can't tamper with the Word of God. You can't tamper with the spiritual state of an individual. The world should be in panic because someone has tampered with the truth of God's Word, but they don't know. And aren't you glad that you're sealed for eternity? Aren't you glad you got the undiluted version? Aren't you glad that it is pure Word of God and that we have a benchmark for what we believe? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. The longer I live for God, the more impressed I am with how he has kept us and kept the Word of God. Amen. No dilution. No watering down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to be homogenized by the world. Oh, it's good for you. We're going to add some things to the milk to make you feel better and help your health. No, I'll just take the real thing. Amen. Glory to God. Buy the truth and sell it not. It's going to cost you something. When I bought the truth, I lost some friends. There were even some relatives that didn't want to spend any time with me at all. I was listening to talk radio on Friday, and there's a man who is running for U.S. Senate. I believe his name is Kevin Nicholson. Kevin Nicholson at one time believed in abortion, was a very liberal individual, but something opened his eyes to what was right. Never taken to church ever when he was a child. His parents promoted just being liberal, just open, do whatever you want. But he said there came a day where I recognized they were wrong, I was wrong, I've changed my mind. Now I believe life begins at conception. I believe in morality. I believe in doing what is right. And he said to the man who was interviewing him, he said, it's cost me my relationship with my parents. Even though I'm running for U.S. Senate, my parents won't even talk to me. But that's all right. I've got truth. I've got Jesus. Amen. It's going to cost me something. But I know there's no other way. There's no other version. There isn't a watered down version. There isn't a Jesus light. Amen. Right. Less calories, less filling. A version that just gets me to heaven. No. The whole truth and nothing but truth. So help me, God. I don't want to be deluded. I don't want to hear fables. I don't want somebody tickling my ear saying, well, that was for another time. No, don't you tamper with the thing that has saved me. It's not necessary anymore, Pastor. Well, show me in the book. Amen. Not according to my book, to my version. Amen. My version is God's version. And he hasn't changed his mind. I'm glad he didn't change his mind in Gethsemane. Amen. But he went to the cross so I could have full salvation, full inheritance, and I've got the earnest, I've got the down payment. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. I went to the store the other day and gave the clerk a larger bill, and she held it up to the light to see if it was real or if it was fake. You know what? We can do that. Just hold it up to the light. See if it's real or not. Because I don't want to go through my whole life with a version of salvation that won't get me to heaven. Amen. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?